God can do anything but fail. Anything is what intrigues me. There are a couple of things that, in as much as we are here for prayer meeting, that John said, two verses. In his gospel, of chapter 14, verse 14, and in his epistle of chapter 5, and verse 14. 2:14s. John 14, verse 14, the Lord said, and again, this is these are prayerful presumptions. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, John records. Now in his epistle, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Anything. Now that presumption has a divine premise. Think about the word anything, how elastic that is. Or words, anything. I put them together. The English grammarians want to separate them. I put them together. Two words, anything, goes into one. Duct tape them together. But there is a divine presumption, the premise of which, again, we find in the context of the might of God in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, questions asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now think about your prayer life when you come to the throne of grace. John said, if you ask anything, anything, keep in mind, again, the premise, is anything too hard for God? Anything. And of course, we have to come to the place where we say no. I want you to think with me tonight about a fish belly prayer meeting as a sample. A fish belly prayer meeting. Jonah chapter 1, Jonah chapter 2, all the way to chapter 4. There was a prayer meeting that took place down deep inside the belly of a fish. And just think about the premise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Answer, no. We would say that. Jonah chapter 1 provides some real life consideration. There's a man whose compass was pointing in the wrong direction, pays his freight, gets on board a ship, the Lord sends a storm, and bottom line is that very reluctantly, the sailors of that on board that ship threw Jonah over. Now, God had a purpose for Jonah. And even the worst of storms and the worst of circumstances do not curtail God's ability to get done what he wants done. And so the Lord prepared a fish. And the scripture says, and that fish swallowed. Jonah got swallowed up. I'm not going to spend any time debating or figuring, was he alive or was he dead? Did he die? That's not the point of the thing tonight. But just let me say that Jonah was told by God to go to the wicked city of Nineveh. I suppose even worse place than Sodom and Gomorrah. worse. In its time, reputation was absolutely cruel and barbaric to the extreme. Jonah basically did not want to go because he would rather God judge the place. He figured that's what they had coming. Matter of fact, even after God forestalls judgment because of their repentance, Jonah is still angry that God did that. Anyhow, he got swallowed up by that fish. Prayer meeting takes place. And then when God, who prepared the fish to swallow the guy, determined that it was time to spew him out, he didn't spew him out into the ocean again. He put him out on dry land. Is anything too hard for God? And we say, no. How do we know? Well, just case in point, you have Jonah to consider. And if you back up in the context of Genesis 18, can God take the womb of a woman, what this story you well know, that is said to be already dead, past the prime at least, is he able to use that dead old womb in the life of that old woman to bring a child forth? Well, usually it doesn't work that way, but there he did it. And again, there would be a purpose for that child that was born. Circumstances do not present difficulties to an omnipotent God. No matter how absolutely logic-defying those circumstances might be. So you have the presumption. If we ask anything, we know that the premise rests on the fact that nothing is too hard for God. Is anything? We say no. And we know why that is so. But then this question needs to be asked. And keep this in mind, because here is a divine partition. God can do anything except, now note now, God can do anything except make exception to his own will. He can do anything except make an exception to his own will. I want you to see that in Genesis chapter 19, verse 27, and then there are several places in the scripture that underscore the truth. Genesis 19 and verse 27. I think it's verse 27. There is a discussion going on in the removing of Lot and his family. And we find that one of the angels, and I'm losing my verse here, but it's right in this chapter if you find it before I do. Oh yeah, verse 22. Trying to hustle them out of the city because judgment is due. And please note this exception. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. What he asked for was for God to make an exception for him to go to a city. God says to him, go. I can't do anything till you get there. And so we know that God can do anything except make an exception to his will. Think with me also. It was the same thing in Genesis chapter 6. Judgment was coming upon the world by way of a flood. God could not do anything until Noah and his family were safely tucked into and sealed inside the ark. He could not do anything. Now keep in mind that he, who seems from the human perspective to be unable or unwilling to do something, is only that which he himself causes, because God ordains the means to the end, and God is in control of every single minute of the day, every year, past, present, future. There's also this to consider, where you're concerned. Judgment is coming again to planet Earth. It won't be by a flood, but it will be by fire. And God cannot judge this earth until we are in heaven. He said so in 1 Thessalonians 4. Underscoring that, people will and have for decades tried to foolishly fixate on the identity of the coming man of sin. And yet when we look at 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, it is said in that seventh verse that the man of sin will not be revealed until he that hinders, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. So God can do anything except make exception to his own will. Then there is this to consider. Not only a divine partition, but divine provision. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2. Elisha and the widow. Verse 2. 2 Kings 4 verse 2. He asked what he could do for. He asked again, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. He said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few, and he leaves to her to determine what few means. Now think about that. Where divine provision is concerned, oftentimes God is more willing to bless us than we have faith to accompany that or to accomplish it. But nevertheless, all that she gathered in, and from her perspective, she got all that she could. And what's the result? God can do anything now. They took what was in the one lone pot of oil and began pouring it into all the other empty vessels. And it didn't run out until the last one that she had gathered was filled up. How do you explain that? You can't. You can't. Any more than you can explain the many baskets of fragments that were gathered up when Jesus fed the multitudes and everybody was stuffed at the end of the meal. Considering the starting point, the seed food that they began with. When you think about that notion, there is a precaution that we would conclude with tonight. And we find that precaution in Matthew 13 verse 58, simply stated. Here's a conclusion of that. Unbelief preempts God's powerful blessing. It preempts God's powerful blessing. And there's another example. And we'll conclude tonight in 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings 13. Elisha again. And at verse number 14 through verse 19. Verse 14, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Joash, king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. First instance, only instance in the Bible where you're going to have a dead man talking. Verse 15. When you rightly divide the word of truth, of course. Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. He took unto him bow and arrows. He said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. He put his hand upon it. Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. He said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. Elisha said, Shoot. He shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stopped. He stayed. Then verse 19 to the point. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldst have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I mean, God is saying, if we're to put a beating on them, then let's do it upright. In other words, he could have had twice the blessing that he himself preempted. He stopped where God would have gone on double time. And Elisha died. They buried him. The bands of the Moabites invaded the land the coming in of the year. Came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. They cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, now God can do anything. When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Revived and stood upon his feet. Them some powerful bones. So again, we go back and we remember the hymn. You say 729 was, God can do anything but fail. Anything. Excepting that he will, can't make an exception for his own will. It's the only thing he can't do. And that is self-imposed. Simply because the nature of God is that he is impeccably faithful. Absolutely. So as we pray tonight, keep in mind the nature of the God that you appeal to when you come to the throne of grace. Keep that in mind. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you might take the seed of the Word of God as sown and let it blossom in our hearts. May it enhance our walk of faith. May it enliven our prayer times. And may it increase the joy, the satisfaction that we derive from you when you set yourself upon an issue and resolve it for your glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.